Indulgence this morning, I'm suffering too from chest congestion and boy, oh boy, it's going around, but it does. And so may the Lord get us through all this. The text is from Luke chapter 2. It's Jesus being brought into the temple by his mother and father. And he meets a couple people there. And I'll start at Luke chapter 2, 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms, blessed God, and said, and some of us older folks are going to recognize this. This is from the New King James. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. And as Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, and a sword will pierce through your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And then in the 38th verse, and coming in that instant, she gave thanks. This is Anna, the prophetess. She gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. In the name of Jesus. Hearts are going to be revealed. In fact, today there's going to be something revealed to us. We're all waiting for it. That pesky rodent, Punxsutawney Phil. Whether we're going to have 6 more weeks of winter. In Ohio, we have 6 more weeks of winter anyways. It doesn't matter. But Phil's going to tell us, I guess. I don't know. But in Jerusalem, it was that after Mary, after her purification, she had the child. Since Jesus was the firstborn, and this goes way back to the Exodus, when the firstborn of Pharaoh's country, household, were destroyed, and the blood saved, of course, the children of Israelites on the doorposts, the firstborn was always dedicated to the Lord, and he had to be redeemed by a sacrifice. And of course, with Mary and Joseph, they brought the two doves, the pigeons. And here they meet Simeon. And Simeon was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He was a righteous person. He was devout. And it was revealed to him that he would see the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. In fact, this was already spoken about in the prophets. One that I'll read is Isaiah chapter 49. In speaking of Jesus, the prophet writes, by the Holy Spirit, I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. And so it is, that we have exactly that. God has given us a light and life in Jesus Christ. That's what it's talked about in the first chapter of John. Jesus, the light and life. And then Simeon says, the astonishment of his folks, here, Lord, I have seen your salvation, which is before the face of all peoples. It has been, and this is the special word, it has been prepared. Our Heavenly Father, of course, left nothing to chance. He prepared this salvation, not just for Israel, but for you and for me. A special person, his own son. We're told in the book of Hebrews, how Jesus was given a body. He had to be like us, and yet without sin. He had to be tempted like us, and yet not failing for us. He had to be like us, and yet he took into the uttermost. He saved us by his sacrifice. Our Father prepared for us that salvation. And yet, here it's revealed to Simeon, and Simeon turns around and he says, but I'll tell you what about this child. A lot of hearts, the thoughts of a lot of hearts, are going to be revealed right here in Israel today and later on. It's going to be for the rising and falling of many in Israel, and a sign that will be spoken against. What's all that mean? Well, the rising by faith, to believe in Christ, that's going to happen to some people in Israel, and they're falling in destruction because they wouldn't trust the Christ. And a sign that will be spoken against, and how often that wasn't true. In fact, Jesus, in the synagogue, they were just waiting for him to do a miracle so that they could behold God's glory? No. So that they could accuse Jesus, speak against him, because he did some work on the Sabbath. Can you imagine that? And yet it's true. They spoke against Jesus in his teaching, constantly arguing with him. Even at the cross, they wagged their heads. They said, he's the Son of God. If God wants him, let him take him down from the cross. And then finally, even in his resurrection, they told things about him. Opposition over and over again. Later on, we see it in our Lord's apostles, what they did to them. In Stephen, the first martyr, they couldn't stand to hear that name, Jesus. I once had a person tell me, well, that's a conversation stopper. You can mention God, you can mention spirituality, and I've said this before, and it's so true, and you've experienced it yourself, probably. But you mention Jesus, and oh boy, then things change, and the atmosphere in the room changes. Many hearts were revealed. In fact, I'll tell you what, even not having an opinion about Jesus is already an opinion. You've got to do something with him, either one way or the other. Trust him, believe in him, or ignore him. Or just kind of, oh, it doesn't really matter. Which unfortunately seems to be the idea today in a lot of places. And then something else is said. And Simeon does not hold back. Of course, he's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He turns to Mary, the mother, and says, you, dear, are going to have a sword that's going to go through your own soul. Sure enough, we especially saw that right at the crucifixion. There's Mary beholding her son dying for us and her. Horrible what she must have felt, a sword going through her own soul. And yet, she was faithful Jesus, she was faithful to her Lord. Our own hearts, too, sometimes our thoughts and our hearts are revealed, especially when we do meet our own trials and our own problems. Maybe not like quite like Mary, but if it's our problem and our difficulty, it can just feel about the same way. We meet situations, we meet people, we're angry, trials we go through, things that just should not happen, and they do. And it's such a bother sometimes. What do our hearts reveal about how we trust our Lord? Our hearts reveal, you know, we trust him for salvation. And yet, there are sometimes we get very angry, we criticize, we get upset. Instead of looking to Christ and his salvation and looking to what the Father has prepared for us, rather, just the opposite happens. But then we think how much God loved us. I know I say that so often, but how much he loved us to prepare that salvation. He's not going to let us go, especially in the moment of a trial. What else does our hearts reveal? What do we really trust in for salvation? Now, as Christians, we say we trust in Jesus Christ. And yet, how many times, I've done it myself, At least, Lord, I don't do that. I'm not bragging now, Lord, but I'm just glad that, you know, I don't do those kind of things. No, we're sinners, all of us. And yet, it has been revealed to us that Christ and his redeeming blood has forgiven us of all sins. Like it says in Colossians, where favorite passage, where Paul is speaking to the Colossians, he says, that hope you have in heaven that's come about by faith, by realizing what we have in heaven, that's revealed in the gospel. And that Holy Spirit blesses that gospel and blesses our hearts and reveals to us, yes, that we can say with St. John in his letter, the blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. What does that do to our hearts? And how does that make our hearts? What does that reveal in us? That I'm looking at a Father who truly loves me. That his Son's blood cleanses me from all sins and a guilty conscience. That I'm free. The Holy Spirit brings that faith to us. And it shows up in many ways. Our hearts reveal who we are in our worship and our praise. The first song we sang, again, just one of those moments, that the worship and praise, Lord, it's all about you, Jesus. And boy, I'm sorry for what I've done to mess it up too sometimes in my worship. Oh, we don't do things perfectly, but it's about Jesus and what he's done for us. Our prayers. How many times, you know, oh, yes, we say the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. I'm guilty as not anybody else. I mean, it's as much, if not more, than anyone else. It's so easy to run through the Lord's Prayer. What are you saying there? Our Father, who art in heaven, who's given us a hope that we're going to live there with him forever through Jesus Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let your name be hallowed in my life. But what does that say? You know, our hearts. We reveal them to people. This weekend, I happened to just catch a program with Lee Strobel. I don't know if a lot of you have heard of him. Maybe most of you have. He wrote The Case for Christ and The Case for Faith. Lee Strobel. He was a reporter for the Chicago Tribune. And he admits he was not... He was an atheist, he says. And he changed. God changed his heart. He went out and he examined the case for Christ, the case for our God, the case for this world and how it was created and put together and all the sciences. And he went on and on. And he says, it's all there. It's all there. How much God has worked in our lives and in this world. And it changed this man. Become a Christian. And like Anna the prophetess, he started to tell people about this. His wife noticed, and people noticed. You know, some people will write things about him, say, oh, this guy's a sham. He's not for real. Oh, he is. His heart reveals it. You can't get away from that. And our hearts do the same thing in our lives. Again, I was reading about Muslims that, you know, I guess they don't have a high opinion of people in America. Now, for obvious reasons. But Christianity in particular. They think it's decadent. It's promiscuous. Until they meet a genuine Christian. No, maybe not a, you know, a humble, pure, super Christian. Not like that. But just an everyday Christian who trusts in Jesus Christ. That impresses them. Because we're living out our religion. We're showing the love of Christ to them because first that love has been shown to us. That means so much to them, to anybody that we meet. We don't do it perfectly. We don't do it always well, but God blesses us anyhow. Oh Lord, let your servant depart in peace, Simeon said. Mine eyes, that's King James, has seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. You went out of your way, Father, to prepare it for me, for you.
And especially coming from Luke, you see it's for not just Israel, for the Gentiles,
for everybody who would believe,
for anybody who would come and say, Jesus, you are my Lord, my God, and my Savior. May that be our confession. May that be what our hearts reveal. And now, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.